Welcome back to Green Lines. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. We're going to welcome back a friend to the Charisma Podcast Network, particularly the Green Lines today. You know Dr. Doug Stringer. He's a regular podcaster and writer. He's been writing for Charisma for a long time. He's been a top 12 newsmaker of the past that we featured in our magazine and on Ministry Today in 2014, one of the 21 most influential ministries of the 21st century. He's an amazing man of God. We just love him. He was among a group of ministry leaders that was recognized by Dr. Alveda King and the late Bishop Harry Jackson and others for their many years of ministry of reconciliation. And of course, Doug is a revivalist at heart. Maybe that's why I love him so much. But he's also served as the executive leadership on that Committee for America for Jesus. And that's always held in Philadelphia. He served the National Church Mobilization Coordinator, local host for The Response, with over 40,000 attendees in Houston. He's also helped to serve, facilitate, or coordinate similar types of Joel 2 and 2 Chronicles 7:14 solemn assemblies across the entire nation. He served on many boards and many national and international organizations over the years, including the board of the One Star Foundation, appointed by the governor of Texas. So you probably also know him as an author. Maybe some of you know his books more than you know him personally. It's Time to Cross the Jordan, The Fatherless Generation, Somebody Cares, A Guide to Living Out Your Faith, Born to Die, That We May Live, Hope for a Fatherless Generation, Living Life Well, The Spirit of the Commandments, and In Search of a Father's Blessing. And most lately, I think, well, I asked him about his latest publication, but I'm pretty sure this is it. It's Leadership Awakening, Foundational Principles for Lasting Success. He's just done a lot, and I could speak for another 5 or 10 minutes to tell you more about him, particularly Somebody Cares America. But I think you'd rather hear him talk about it than to have me. But I'm just going to say welcome back to my friend and a great friend of the Charisma Podcast Network and Charisma Magazine, Charisma Media for all that's worth. So welcome back, Doug Stringer. We're so glad you're here.
It is great to be with you again, Dr. Green, and always a pleasure to learn from you and glean from you. And as we're in a constant learning curve, I think I remember it was John Maxwell or someone who said that leaders are learners. So I want to be a lifelong learner. So I'm gleaning a lot from the wisdom and the help that you've been giving to us on these podcasts.
Well, that's a nice compliment. I sure appreciate it. But I'll tell you what, if you stop learning, you surely shouldn't be teaching. I know that. And I agree with Dr. Maxwell that if you just can't keep that growth mentality, you really don't have anything much more to give to someone. You know, it all comes in that daily download. You know, those morning notes come in so handy, right?
That's right. You know, in my book, Leadership Awakening, I had talked about the importance that I call it a DIT. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be a gold medalist for God, a DIT is a disciple in training. If you stop being a disciple in training, you abdicate your capacity to be a leader.
Oh, just go sit in the tent.
You know, that's right.
Because we're going on without you. If you don't want to learn, class is always in session with the Lord.
That's right.
You know, those disciples, how much fun would it be to be walking with Jesus and he just stops all of a sudden and said, look, over there, that fig tree. I got something to say to you fellas about that fig tree. You know, then he walks and sees something going on in the sea and in the rocks and in the seeds on the ground. He just is constantly teaching. And what a model that is for leadership training.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm just so blessed to be able to, you know, every morning I have two prayer times, as you know, and we've talked about this before,
yes,
that my first prayer time is just where all I do is just thank the Lord for everything, the privilege of his calling.
I remember.
I thank him for my family. And then my second prayer time is before I leave my hotel room, my home, I do my knee time. That's where I give all my supplications. But I realize I can't do anything without first seeking him and getting his wisdom and guidance, protection, and direction.
Well, I'm always needing to respond on my knees after I spend time with you and I hear about your two prayer times. And I sometimes lament the fact that I'm running late to do my first one, you know, that to spend the quality time that I need to slow down. That, you know, I get up very early. I'm at the office real early in the morning. And I can't wait to get into the Word, get into what God has for me. That sometimes it's all about, what have you got for me today, Lord? And I get that Bible open, and all of a sudden then I run out of time to pray. And that's just I repent. I've got to do better. I pray every day, but not the way that I want to every day.
Well, the good news, Dr. Green, is that we've been around a while, so I think that we're not moved by feeling condemnation. It's not by the being dogmatic about just the relationship, isn't it?
Well, I'm thankful for grace and the grace to
Amen.
And to do it again tomorrow and to do better. I don't feel beaten by it. I'm internally convicted. You know, when you want to. I think the day I stop wanting to or lamenting about it is when I've got a problem in my heart. That's when that thing gets all frozen over, you know?
No, I was thinking about that the other day, you know, in Hebrews 12. I just have never lost the awe of worshiping God. And, you know, when I do that by going back to the original landmark of my life when Jesus gave his revelation to me of who he was, that became my foundational landmark that whenever I go through anything in life, if it's even the pandemics of the last year, whatever it is, I always go back to that moment, that landmark moment of the joy of my salvation. And that gives perspective to everything else.
Brother, I remember where I was, who was around me. I can see the room as though I just walked out of it. And the chair I was sitting in when I caught it and when I had to respond. And, you know, I walked down an aisle at 12 and was baptized and all the formal things you do. But this was after I was married and I was 19 and I received the fullness of the gospel. And I understood it in a way intellectually that, you know, my intellect was in my way. I was an academic and schooled and, you know, I was a smart dude. And then all of a sudden, I got real dumb and fell on my knees, on my face, and I just wanted more of God. And it was a revelation like I've had two or three times in my life. But this one, as you just said, was so special and so memorable that I can almost smell the room, the flavor. I know the building. I think I could drive to it. It was in Baton Rouge. At Victory Bible Fellowship, who was just kind of beginning to to start the charismatic revolution, part of it, a very early part of the charismatic days. And I remember them, this is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel, and I didn't know about the prophet Joel yet. And I got so hungry so fast. And it was really an amazing, amazing memory and experience. And you just spurred it up in me just by the thought of you looking back at your revelation.
Well, even what you just said about this is that, I mean, isn't that true? Even the book of Joel today, I mean, we're living in the future is now. This is that.
And about more things in the outpouring, you know, this is that we've been reading about in all the prophets that these times we're living in, these troubled days that are coming at us are no surprise for a studying Christian.
That's right.
Well, brother, I love you and love talking to you. I want to talk about your show. Doug Stringer and Friends is a word in season is the name of the show. A word in season with Doug Stringer and Friends. It's one where you share stories of good news and not that bad news that we hear all the time. Sometimes people take good news as bad news. But so why do you feel it's so important to have a good news show?
Well, I think it's important because we get so much inundation of all the negativity. Now, not to say that we don't address the current issues, we do, but I try to. The late Dr. Edwin Lewis Cole, who had been a spiritual father to me, said, always start on a positive, talk about realities, but always end on a positive. And I think that's what we try to do. And it's a learning curve for me. And you've been helping me to maneuver through this last year and a half or so as we've been doing like 103, 104 podcasts now. But I try to give a word that's relevant, but also in the context of the hope that comes through whatever we're going through.
That's something really good. So many of us go through these valleys alone. They don't reach out. They don't have any content coming at them. Not just reading and studying, but I'm talking about the opportunity to have day-long devotions. When I walk down the hall with my earbuds in my ear, I'm listening to something that's inspiring me. Not just worship music. Nothing wrong with that. But I want food. I want more.
Yes.
I want more of that good content. I'll get my worship in. I've got my times when I'll hear some of that good music. But this is that opportunity to download good, strong content. And your show's filled with it show after show.
Well, thank you so much. You know, it's interesting. I was very, very reluctant to even do the podcast because, as you know, many of us, time is our greatest commodity, and it's like it's hard to fill something else in. But I realized through listening to a lot of my next-gen council, which I have millennials and next-generation leaders that actually speak into my life, who really are looking to me as a spiritual father, and they're the ones saying, Doug, our generation needs your generation to speak into us. So I finally acquiesced, and I'm glad I did.
Well, I am too, and good for you, because that's what the Lord wanted you to do. It's amazing how the people that have really strong, really good content and their shows become strong are fairly resilient, but at the same time, they're hesitant to take that word forward.
Well, it's interesting you brought up that word resilient, because one of our podcasts, you know, some of our podcasts we actually do these Zoom call for leaders across the country once or twice a month. And then from that, we extrapolate some of that for our podcast. And our most downloaded podcast was on resilient leadership. I think it was 113 or 114,000 downloads in just a short period of time. And that was with Major General, retired Bob Dees, military general.
Amazing. And when you think about it, that's more than national champion Alabama Roll Tide football team has listened to. You can't get 110,000 in that stadium. Think about that. One place at one time, essentially, for one 30-minute show-ish, you've brought together people who want to hear that interview. That has to be amazing.
Well, but you brought up the word resiliency, because really that's, I guess that resonates with people. They need resilience right now more than ever. And so I think that's one of the reasons, you know, that they really gravitated to that particular message.
I so agree. And the more of that we can teach, the better, Doug. If you can continue on that path and keep speaking about it, because resilience, it's amazing how it's fleeting. That I will see someone, it's almost an oxymoron. I would see someone that I thought was a resilient person, and the wrong thing gets a hold of their ankles and doesn't let go. And I see that draining of resiliency, and I see downtrodden and shoulders drop, their knees drop, the feeble hands hang down. And I think of those scripture where we need that Ephesians 4:29, a good word in season, let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth, except that which is good to build up and edify. And that's what resilient teachers do, is they build up and edify.
That's right. And, you know, that's probably why so many people have gravitated to, you know, the podcast that you have, you know, with Green Lines and Love Leads, because people are looking for something outside all the external noise that's going on right now. But God's the one who's mightier than all the noise.
Yes, sir.
And that's why I think we need leaders who can see beyond, to have the long view, to look beyond our current circumstances and see the ultimate destination that God has
yes,
for
sir.
Us.
Yes, sir. So going back to Word in Season, tell everyone how often you put your show up.
Well, we do a weekly one. It's called The Word in Season with Doug Stringer and friends. And most of them is me actually teaching or sharing and sharing testimonies as well. But many of them are also where we have guests like General Bob Dees, or the co-founder of the Orlando Magic was one of my guests, Pat Williams, who I'm sure you know, Steve.
And, yeah, he's been
and
in
then,
here.
Phil Libertor.
I've interviewed him.
Yeah, there you go.
He's a piece of work.
Well, you know how Well, I first met him because I saw on social media that he was promoting my book, Leadership Awakening. So I direct messaged him and said, Mr. Williams, I said, do I know you? He goes, I don't think so, but I love your book. I'm thinking, wow, I need to have you as a guest.
Yes.
And then we had Phil Libertor, who's the CEO and president of Outdoor Sportsman Group and the Outdoor Channel, and a strong brother in the Lord. We met together speaking at a men's event. And then we'll be having Gordon Robertson, of CBN in early February. So
that's great.
We've had a good slew of great leaders that have been guests with us.
Well, keep it up, because they're accessible to you in the kingdom of God. There's no 6 degrees of separation. You just reach out through the power of the Holy Spirit and pray them in. And the next thing you know,
Absolutely.
Your phone's ringing or there's a contact and they're on your show. And that's
absolutely.
That's what I encourage all show hosts is don't aim low. Go get who God wants on your show. And that's what makes a difference. And I'm not I don't try to just go get a name. You know, we'll talk to anyone who's got a story to tell. And and that the Holy Spirit directs us to put on, because we never know who's got the word in season.
That's right. That's right. Well, look, you have me on today, and I'm not a big name. I'm just a person who's just been trudging along all these last 40 years.
We're all big names to the Lord, and he's not a respecter of persons, so why would we be? He gave you a message,
that's right.
Right? Then that becomes very relevant to me. Like Leadership Awakening, that, you know, in that book, you do a lot to challenge leaders to run their races, and how about this, just to finish well. What if we just did a completely new podcast, and I'm making this up as I go along, but if we had a podcast called Finish Well, and everything that we said in that show was all about how to finish well, how to stay resilient, how to have integrity, all those John Maxwell-type things that make leaders leaders. But more than that, how many leaders do we see every day who have given up the race? They just stop racing. They may or may not become disqualified from the race, but there are for sure a lot of quitters out there. And this economy, this disease, it's got a lot of folks just quitting.
Well, you know, discouragement, I actually talk about in my book, is that discouragement is a powerful drug. And I know what that means. You know, I used to be on drugs and partying, and I dropped out of university and then went back later to school. But there's something about discouragement that really becomes a compensatory facade, where we end up compensating on the outside for the pain, the hurt, and the fear, the anxiety, the stress on the inside. And so definitely right now, more than ever, we need to encourage people to look past the circumstances of what they're going through. We need leaders who are courageous, persevering, and godly more than ever before.
Well, you know, as I think about encouragers, I'm wondering, if I'm discouraged, where do I go find encouragement? Well, I might want to turn on a podcast, but when you think about it, encouragement doesn't come to you. You have to go get it. Now more than ever, there used to be Barnabas walking up and down the aisle. I should say Barnabas I. I guess that's plural for Barnabases. But my point is, there were those people that were in our lives, and it's so hard to find encouragers. There's so many more naysayers. Can't turn the TV news on, that's for sure. We really can't surf news online. That doesn't work. Where do we find encouragement? You know, we have to seek it out. And I'm telling you, Charisma Podcast and your show as well, we have to look really close and very carefully at these shows to find the encouragement. We got to go get it.
Yes. Well, you know, as we've been talking about even earlier, that, you know, we live in a world of great challenges, even uncertainties, and there's constantly a flow of not just corporate but personal challenges in the midst of it all. So more than ever, we need those courageous leaders and those that we can look to. We have got God's Word, who are going to share the truth and love the truth more than they love themselves. And yet, when we are met with unexpected detours, it can become a disruption to our and discouraging to us, and keep us from even focusing on our destination. So I think during these times, it's important for all of us to remember that God has a plan and a purpose that's greater than the temporary circumstances that might plague us. And as you remember, I went through stage 4 lymphoma,
yes,
cancer,
sir.
80% aggressive in 2015. But what kept me going was looking past my circumstance and realizing God had a greater purpose than what I was going through.
Well, brother, how do you encourage leaders to keep a steady flow of encouragement? Write me a good prescription. You're a doctor. Write me a good prescription for encouragement.
Here's a little humor before I say that. My mother, who's passed now, she was Japanese. And as you
yes.
know, I was born in Japan. My mother was Japanese. My father was a Navy SEAL from Texas. My mother was Japanese. But she used to always want me to become a medical doctor. But she still became proud of me when I became a doctor of ministry later and a PhD in leadership. So,
right.
But she, I used to think, Mom, I know you want me to be a medical doctor, but I feel like I'm called to the ministry.
Well, at least she didn't say real doctor. That's the one that gets me.
You know,
people will ask me about my degree, and they'll say, are you a real doctor? And I say, I'm much better. I studied for 10 more years than they did to become an MD to earn my PhD. It was a long journey. It was hard. It was a lot of work, but, you know,
Amen.
The Lord sent me to it and through it. I would do it again.
Well, you had asked me the question too, you know, how do we encourage leaders to this? And one of the lessons I've learned, there's a lot we could share, but one of them, and it's actually in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 14 and 15, that we have to be careful not to harbor unforgiveness and bitterness. Mm-hmm. And in fact, my good friend Christopher Alam, who had been thrown in prison in 1976 for becoming a Christian, his father was a military general in Pakistan. He became a Christian. They threw him in prison trying to get him to think straight again and disregard Christianity. So for a whole year, almost, he was in prison with only a Bible. And he said he could have come out of that year bitter, but he became out better. And I think it's important for us when we go through our challenges, unexpected detours in life, and even our leadership, that we learn that if we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the Zoe of God, then we have the authority to be able to speak the Zao, the breath of God, into circumstances, because the essence of Christ in us, our hope of glory, Christ in us, is now helping us to look beyond circumstances so that people don't become bitter, but they grow better through whatever they go through.
Yes, that's so good. Well, you know, I want to help you announce that you've got another new book coming out. You continue to work and study and get downloads from the Lord. Your new book, Mending the Net, Bringing Hope to a Hurting World. What are you up to? What did the Lord give you? What have you written about? Tell me about your book.
Sure. Back in, I think, 1999 or 2000, Jack Hayford, who had invited me to speak at Love LA back then, mm-hmm. they had never had an outside guest speaker, but they really felt like I was supposed to come and take a few hours to share with the pastors of the LA region. And afterwards, he introduced me to a publisher and just said, hey, I want you to meet so-and-so. You need to do a book with Doug Stringer. I said, well, Jack, but Pastor Jack, no one's going to listen to me. But if you write the foreword, I'll write the book. And so he said, absolutely. And so that first book came out. It's called Somebody Cares, A Guide to Living Out Your Faith. But it's been out of print for years, but people keep wanting it. So my new publisher, Whitaker House, mm-hmm. said, we'd like to republish that book with some added chapters and updates. And so we did that, calling it Mending the Net, Bringing Hope in a Hurting World. And interestingly, we came up with that title and all the changes prior to all that we went through in 2020 and realized how much more important it is today than even then, that we are to be a mended net where Jesus can spread the net, the church, can mend us together, to wash us together, so he can use us to be cast out to catch many, many more fish and bring in a harvest. Because one fishing pole, you catch a fish. But as a mended net, being cast by the Lord, we can do a whole lot more together.
Yes, sir. And again, I think these professional fishermen that Jesus helped, you know, we could look at that and say, it's like coming into whatever you're best at, and the Lord comes up to you and says, let me show you another way. And you do that, and all of a sudden, you get a 100x return on investment and on your work. And you look at them like, you know, I'm a fisherman. I do this for a living all day. And who are you that would coach me and tell me how to improve? And what a great leadership lesson that was and continues to be as we think about how we receive from others.
Absolutely. You know, I was remembering a story from a pastor at the time. It was called Bamwell Baptist Church, and now they become known as New Haven House of Prayer. But Pastor Marion grew up in Texas and used to have blue heeler dogs in East Texas. And his dad's neighbor had a few hundred head of cattle, and they didn't have enough blue heeler dogs for roundup time. So they all decided to get the neighbors together and get up at 7 a.m., take their blue heeler dogs and share the dogs to help their neighbor. And when they went out there, the blue heeler dogs that live, eat, and breathe to do one thing, and that's round up the cattle, mm-hmm. Wouldn't go to the cattle. They ran towards each other, sniffing, growling, and checking each other out, hair standing on the back of their neck. And so no matter how much their owners said, go blue, they didn't even listen to the voice of their owners until they were done sniffing, growling, and checking. Then they went out and brought in the roundup. And the moral of that story is we're at a time where the church has been so divided. How can we bring healing to a nation if the heart of the nation is divided, which is the church? We need to get back to the place of the centrality of the cross beyond our differences, because there's a big roundup up there. We have to quit sniffing, growling, and checking each other out. And let's get out there and get the job done and finish the work Jesus talked about in John chapter 4.
Yes, sir. Well, I love your words. I love hearing about it. When is your book released?
Well, it actually comes out this month.
Good.
I know it's already up. Its official release date is the first week of February, but I believe there's an early release coming out this month. And so we're excited about that because we believe the word is a word in season, literally, and we'll have to share more about it on our podcast.
Okay, I can't wait. So if we listen to your show, we'll find out more information about the book and we'll be able to get a hold of it.
Absolutely. Or they can go online and either Whitaker House Publishing, Anchor Distributors, or any other bookstores. Okay. It's already up there, I believe. And, all the other online bookstores as well. Just look for Mending the Net, Bringing Hope in a Hurting World by Doug Stringer.
So give me one more thought of what a reader, why they'd want to pick it up. What's going to change when they put that book down for the last time? What impact will it have on them and what area of their life?
Well, ultimately, the book is filled and riddled with a hunger for revival because we've all been praying for it, but we have to pray with the purpose. We have to worship with the purpose. We have unity is not the goal, but it's the outcome when we all seek God together. In fact, I talk about 2 Chronicles 7 and Isaiah 6 in there. And I talk in 2 Chronicles 5, I'm sorry, and Isaiah 6. And Matthew 28, that there's something about when we can put aside our differences, get into the holy presence of God in prayer and worship, that we come out of the presence of a holy, holy, holy God, not according to division, but with one voice and one sound. So I think it's at a critical juncture in the history of the church and in this nation and in the world that the church, this is what we are created for. This, you and I were talking earlier, this is it. The future is now. This is our moment to shine in the midst of a world of difficulties. And so really the whole book is really encouraging us to be a people of prayer who communicate with God, a people of have authentic worship, restoring the altar of authentic worship, and then also having tears for souls. Because in fact, it says in Proverbs 14:25 that a true witness rescues lives or saves souls. There is such an opportunity right now with so many people open, looking for answers and hope. And we, the church, have those answers if we would just focus through Christ to the centrality of the cross.
That's a good word. So tell me, as you're thinking about this book and what the Lord's doing in your life and what you see with what's going on around the country, with the virus, with politics, all the issues that we're all facing, what is going to happen in 21 in your vision? What do you think that we're going to see this year?
Well, that's a loaded question, but I do believe that God's word addresses this. In Luke 21, it says that men's hearts fail them from fear and that there's a distress of nations with perplexity. Men's hearts fail them from fear. And that's Luke 21, 25 through 26. But if you look at the context of that whole chapter, it's Jesus sharing about what would be ending up happening then and also in the time to come, which we see so much today. Earthquakes and famines and tsunamis and pandemics and wars and rumors of wars, ethnos against ethnos, even racial division. But that should not be in the church. That's in the world, but the church should not allow that. But verse 13 of Luke 21, Jesus' own words when he says, but it shall be an occasion for your testimony. So with everybody discussing and arguing, having an opinion on social media, the advent of social media, so many people are so distracted, but no matter what happens, we need to understand that Jesus is on the throne. If Jesus high and lifted up, he would draw all men into himself. And in a moment, he could turn things around. Because when God comes down, and the nations will tremble at his
presence. That's right. There's no discussing it or let's have a caucus. It's just, blink of an eye. Here you go.
That's right. That's right. You know, I was thinking, and I was sharing actually a few weeks ago in 2020 at an all-night prayer meeting about 2 Chronicles 7. And you look at the chapter before that talks about Samaria had been besieged by Syria and the armies of Syria, so there was famine. People were willing to buy bird dung and donkey brains. But in chapter 7 of 2 Kings, it starts off with Elisha saying, hear the word of the Lord. And he says, thus says the Lord. And in a moment, when the four lepers outside the gates of Samaria said, if we sit here, we're going to die. If we go into the city, there's a famine, we'll die.
Yes.
But if we go to the tents of the Syrian army, maybe we'll find mercy. And if not, we'll die. When they went to the Syrian army's tents, they were gone. They were empty. They were able to get all kinds of spoils and food because the armies of Syria heard such a loud noise. They thought that all the armies had come together against them, and they fled, leaving everything and all their spoils. God can do in a moment what we cannot do in our own efforts. And I believe that's it, that we would focus on the Lord, knee posture and vertical worship. in corporate agreement together in God's word, I believe God can do in a moment what only God can
do. Amen. That sounds like a good place to end the show. And we're out of time anyway, but I want to ask you one more question before we leave. And I could talk to you for the next couple of hours. I think we would entertain each other well. But answer this question, if you don't mind, brother. And that's your favorite life verse. What do you go to when you need to go somewhere? What's your go-to verse for good days, bad days, everything in between? What's your life verse?
Well, one of my early, early verses was Isaiah 26, and when it says, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And that has been along with Proverbs 14:25, that my focus has to be on the Lord. My peace is in the Lord. My joy is in the Lord. And through that, I keep my perspective of my calling in the Lord.
That's really good. And that's a verse to get through COVID with.
Absolutely.
Amen. Well, brother, I am so thankful that you've spent time with us today, that you carved it out. I know you're a busy man. You're doing so many good things. I wish you well with your new book. And of course, with your podcast, The Word in Season, with Doug Stringer and friends. It's just doing so well. Hundreds of thousands of people have downloaded it. We hope that that continues for you. Your new book, Mending the Net, Bringing Hope to a Hurting World. Brother, thanks again for spending time with us.
Thank you so much, Dr. Green. Always a pleasure to be with you. Look forward to the next time we get to see each other.
Yes, sir. Let's make it sooner, not later, okay?
Yes, sir.
You've been listening to the Green Lines Podcast. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. On behalf of my producer, Ania, we want to say to all of you, Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. If you've listened to this podcast, you've heard a great recipe for abundant living. God bless you all.